From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again as we continue our studies in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll be turning to Luke's Gospel chapter 5, and for a few days we'll be looking at this and other passages in the Gospels that speak of a very busy time over a very few days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The common theme of the varied events that we'll be mentioning is a vision of the commanding Christ. That's our subject. I trust you'll stay with us as in a few minutes we turn to God's Word. However, we start with our hot topic, our daily commentary for today, the nanny state and the Nazi state. The nanny state is the name given in the United Kingdom to the intrusion of big government into every aspect of personal and public life under the guise of protecting or providing for the people. It's the state's assertion of its right to look after its citizens from the cradle to the grave. In reality, it's the government's way of making its citizens dependents on the state and then slaves of the state. Obviously, there's a legitimate role for government in protecting both the public interest and the individual's rights. But is it really necessary for the government to produce a 4-page guide on how to use the bathroom, as was the case in Tayside, England? Or in Dundee in Scotland, where the local government issued a booklet on the subject of how to sit properly on a toilet seat? Now, that is the nanny state at work. In such cases, the nanny state may appear a figure of fun. But there's a serious side to the issue. The nanny state can very easily become a Nazi state, squelching individual rights when they run contrary to the crazy notions of the politically correct crowd who have gained a stranglehold on legislative power. In Europe, this has already taken place to an alarming degree. Recently in England, political correctness caught up with a lady who has baked and sold cookies in her shop for over 20 years. Her crime is that she calls one of her cookies Robin, while on another, she places a little green candy frog. According to the PC police, she must desist. No more cookies. Unless she carefully lists the ingredients that are in them to indicate that there is no robin meat in her robin cookies, and that those who eat her froggy cookies are not really eating frogs at all. Talk about madness. But it's not just madness. It's the deliberate campaign of people who are set to overthrow the liberties we have come to take for granted. In Europe, the Greens have conned almost the entire population into accepting their doomsday analysis of the environment. Almost daily, they're inventing new laws or issuing new diktats to punish any who don't go along with them. Then there's the hate crime brigade. They usually are the very same people who inhabit the green lunatic asylum. They want to police people's thoughts and beliefs. The United States House of Representatives fast-tracked special hate legislation to protect homosexuals from thoughts and beliefs that they dub threatening, which doesn't indicate any level of physical violence. Sodomites are deemed to be threatened by anything that condemns their lifestyle as sinful and wrong. Thus, the dearest liberties of American society, freedom of religion and freedom of speech, may be overthrown to procure the non-existent right of homosexuals to force everybody to accept them and their perversion as normal. The amazing thing is that this denial of free speech is taking place at a time when judges are ruling that the government cannot infringe on the pornographers' right of free speech to use the internet to push their deviancy on children. Beware then of the nanny state. All too easily it becomes a Nazi state, policed not by brown shirts, but by green shirts, but with the same fanatical zeal to subject our freedoms to their control. Say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to Let the Bible Speak. Every day we have been receiving letters by mail, email, and we have been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, the little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stands, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are all free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there's any way in which we can help you, please be in touch. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may give us a telephone call toll free, 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. For our guilt he gave us peace. From our bondage gave release. And with his stripes, our souls are healed. We had wandered, we all had wandered far from the fold of the shepherd of the sheep, but he sought us where
turning in God's Word this morning as we continue our studies in the life of Christ to Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. We should also be reading in Matthew, chapter 8, from verse 18 right through to chapter 9, verse 8. But we will read only verses 1 through 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break, or more accurately, was on the point of breaking, so full was it. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When
Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. You will remember that in studying the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not dealing with all that he said, or even with all that he did. For that would be a very, very long series indeed. What we are doing is looking at these things as they help us to understand more about his person, his perfections, his purpose, and his saving power. Now, today we will start looking at a group of events that followed that long, rather typical day in the life of Christ that we studied under the theme of Christ the Great Physician. Remember, we looked at how busy the Lord Jesus was, how crammed the day was with one event after another. Now, the events that we start looking at now followed hard on the heels of that day as the Lord continued his great Galilean ministry. This grouping of events, let me give you them so that you'll at least know where we're going. It starts with Luke 5, where he says, "Launch out into the deep," having taught the people out of the boat, "launch out into the deep," and they brought in a great draught of fish. Then, continuing in Luke 5, verse 12 through 16, and this is also found in Mark chapter 1, there is another cleansing of a leper, very similar to the one that we noted in Matthew chapter 8, but I think sufficiently distinct. Then in Matthew 8 again, we have the treatment of two would-be disciples. A scribe comes and says, "I'm willing to leave all and follow you." Jesus answered, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." That was enough for that scribe. And then another person came to him and says, "Suffer me first to go and bury my father." We'll talk a little bit more about how incongruous a statement that was when we get there. Then there was the stilling of the storm when the disciples were with him out in the Sea of Galilee. The storm whipped up by a mighty, whipped the sea up into a mighty fury. And even those experienced fishermen thought that they were sinking and going down to their death. They said, "Save us, we're perishing." He rebuked the wind and the sea. That was followed by the casting out of demons from two men in the country of the Gergesenes. And then there is that remarkable incident that's found in all three synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where a paralytic man was brought into the house where Jesus was. And when they couldn't get in, they broke through the roof. They dropped him down through the roof. And when he saw their faith, the Lord Jesus, first of all, said to the man, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And when the scribes and Pharisees began to think within themselves, "This is blasphemy," he rebuked them and said, "Which is easier to say to him, 'Your sins be forgiven,' or 'Rise up and walk'?" Now, this list presents a very wide array of subject matter. They have a clear connecting theme about them that tells us something great about the Lord Jesus. The theme that the Lord Jesus was setting before the people was that of the commanding Christ. In every case here, there is an outstanding example of the sovereign authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every case, we see his word and his will as law in every realm, heaven, earth, and even hell. Now this is a glorious vision for us to get. The commanding Christ, the Christ of sovereign authority, the Christ of divine power. That's a great vision to get, because He is still the same. Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday and today and forever. When you see in the pages of the Gospels the commanding Christ, the Christ who can speak and heaven hears, who can speak and earth obeys, who can speak and hell submits, remember, that is the Christ whom we worship. That is the Christ whom we preach. Now, how and when He exercises this glorious sovereign power will be according to God's eternal, all-wise purpose. But let's just keep it in mind. He's just as irresistible and full of power today as ever before. Now, when we look at these events, we'll deal with three distinct strands of thought. There's the historical, for this is history. This is not what the neo-Orthodox people tell us, some sort of super history. It doesn't matter whether it actually happened in time and space or whether it didn't. It's some sort of a spiritual history to give us spiritual teaching. If it's not real history, then it's not worth the paper it's written on as far as spiritual teaching goes. You can't base spiritual truth on historical lies. Let's understand that. This is historical. We'll deal with the history. But there's also the theological strand of thought, and then the devotional. In other words, what I'm saying simply is that each historical event that I have mentioned here, and that's true of all the events of the Gospels and of the Scriptures, each one of them carries both theological and devotional implications that we will try to note. Now we're going to start in Luke chapter 5 as we think of the commanding Christ. We're going to note the command that He gives as He says to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. Launch out. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. And as you see this in the context of what follows, here the Lord Jesus Christ commands the success of His work. Now let's back up for a moment. At this particular juncture in the Lord's ministry, the 12 disciples had not been fully and finally called and gathered together. Peter and James and John and Andrew had indeed been called, but they were, if we could sort of put it this way, they were still part-time. That comes through very clearly if you compare Scripture with Scripture. They returned to their jobs. Perhaps there had to be a day or two or a week or two when they had to be back at the boats. And here we find them back at the job. Back at the fishing. It seems to me that they worked mostly with Christ all day, got as little sleep as they needed, and then worked the fishing all night. I gather that's certainly what they did at this time, and it would appear a fairly good guess that they did it with some regularity. In any case, we read that Peter says, we have toiled all night. They were out in the ships all night. To be up all night any night can be quite an ordeal. But especially on a fishing boat. These men were toiling, and when Peter says we toiled, he meant that. We toiled all night. After toiling all night, he sees his boat turned into a pulpit as the Lord Jesus uses it from which to address the people. And immediately after that, turns to Peter and says, now Peter, or Simon as he was then called, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a draught. Peter registers his mild little protest, Master, we have toiled, we are weary. But then he says, and this is where faith kicks in, nevertheless, at thy command, I will let down the net.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.